In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. My fellow workers in the vineyard of Christ, we're at the Sunday of the forefathers. We're nearing, we've been praying, we've been fasting. We've been enduring the holiday season with all of the temptations of world and temporal desires. We've been making it through. We're getting close to Christmas. We hear songs. I was listening to a song the other day and thinking about this gospel, or a carol, as you would say, because it talks about Jesus. We all know Away in a Manger. We all heard that? Away in a manger, no. And I thought about that, and I thought, oh, you know, how that brings to the heart, you know, everything that Mary had to endure. But then I thought, oh my goodness, what is that song, what is that carol missing? Or where does the heart, until this year, my heart didn't really go to there, but it went, for me, to this gospel. And everything Eve had done, that Mary had to be the antidote for. Way back in the Garden of Eden, we remember Eve. And we remember the temptation that she brought, that she took from the devil and gave to Adam. And we remember their exile. But we also know that God didn't forget. God did not forget, because He wanted to forgive. We heard that in St. Paul's letter today. That no matter what has been done, all can be forgiven. There is a place at the table for all of us, if we so desire. We never have to lose our place at the table. Because as we take a look back into the early days, when the serpent had fell to pull Adam and Eve from righteousness and make them to need. They never needed anything until they tasted of that forbidden fruit and fell into sin and suffered death, which is sin. Never before did they need to eat. Had this not happened, would the Israelites needed to think about the meat and the onions of the Egyptian food? Or would they have been satisfied with just the manna that was provided by God? For God knew exactly what we needed, because even when they were going through the desert, living on this manna, this grain that looked like coriander seeds, and never did they ever have more than one day's worth. One day's worth they would harvest, they would eat, the next day they would wake up in the early morning dew, harvest, and they would eat. If they took more than that one day's food, the breadworms and the mold would contaminate that manna that afternoon, except for one day of the week. That one day of the week was the Sabbath. Why was that the Sabbath? He allowed two harvestings so that no one would have to work on the Sabbath, so that they would be fed on the holy day. The Lord our God, then, through Eve, gave unto us His only begotten Son that we are anxiously awaiting in preparation the nativity and the birth, so that we can sit, hopefully, at the table. We don't forget about the glorious meal that is actually to come that we're going to partake of. It's not saying we can't enjoy a nice piece of meat. It's not to say we don't enjoy the fellowship together. We need that. We rely on that with one another. It just means we don't want our bellies to become so full and consume so many earthly desires and temptations and consume ourselves with the world and getting here and getting there that we don't slow down and pay a thanksgiving to God for everything that He has done. Because He knows we can't pay it back. He knows no matter what we suffer in this life, He will never give us the amount of suffering that Christ came. No matter what suffering we endure is no more suffering than the body and the mind can endure in this life. For His will is that we resurrect unto him, and at the day of our resurrection, we get to eat at the Christmas table, if you will, in layman's terms. We get to be given the food. And the most beautiful thing about this is every week leading up to this, we hear the canons. We hear the prophecy of the Old Covenant every week. Every week leading up to this big, beautiful event, this large event. But back to the way in a manger. No crib for a bed. She wraps the Lord in swaddling clothing and lays him in a manger amongst the stink, amongst the foul of the animals. Man sent Christ from his first moment on this earth away from his table. The inn, the warm inn. I'm sorry. I'd love to help you. But can't. No room for you. Now we're saying, if that's true, and God is so all-powerful, bump somebody. Make another room. Have someone say, oops, I didn't realize it, but I forgot my luggage. I'm going to go back. You can give him the room. But he didn't do this. God knew we needed the antidote for the sin of Eve, and it is through the birth of Christ that antidote was given to us so that we could participate at the banquet. Now, another beautiful thing that we see from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the speaking of Genesis and Adam and Eve, is that he worked this miracle through another woman. For the reconciliation of Eve, he made sure we were reconciled through the Theotokos, the Mother of God. So we know that it was through a woman that our lives have been saved, by her willingness to take in her womb a child to save the world. Now, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we know by this gospel of four fundamental truths that we got to hear about it. We know that all of us are invited to the banquet. None of us are asked to stay away. That's a fundamental truth that was blatant, that was brought out in the gospel. But here's what's key. We're invited. What do we do with an invitation? Most invitations that we receive say, RSVP, please. And we have the right to say, I'd love to go to this, but I just got married and I want to spend a little time with my wife. Who doesn't? Or I've got this piece of ground, I should be working it because this is what's going to feed my family. Okay, legitimate excuse. Is it? Is it when we look back to the example of the manna from the Israelites who only could harvest one day, didn't really know what was coming the next day, their grain would be a mess of flies and larvae and mold that couldn't be eaten? Does anybody know what happens when grain becomes what they call ergody? Ergody means it's kind of a fungus, a mold that develops where the seed should be, but the seed isn't there. And what happened in Middle Ages, they would grind this ergody rye into their bread. The white bread was preserved for only the rich. This brown grain, the darker grain, was the peasant's bread. And they would eventually go crazy and they'd die. They'd become sick. It'd be like eating that the next day. So they all had to have their faith and trust in God that, hey, I can't take more than I have. Otherwise, I can't eat that. Grain is one of the worst things that can be eaten if it's bad. That's why Christ uses it. It will kill you. Pancake batter that is too old on the shelf has killed teenagers. Out of date. This is how powerful that statement is. The second, many who are invited, who God prepared for, make excuses not to come. I talked about that and how we exclude ourselves. The third, if necessary, who will God fill His table with? The blind, the lame, the maimed. Here's what that's telling us. We're all, everybody is important. He wants everybody, from the lowest of low to the highest of high. There is no difference. There is no difference on who comes to the table. Listen, I was at a funeral service for Louis Kassir a week and a half ago or so, and I was listening to the Idiomile of St. John of Damascus. And there's two very important ones that I would like to read so we remember. We know in one part, before that, we're placed where kings and beggars are the same. However, in the seventh tone, sometimes we're so taken by grief, I'd like to read it today so we can hear. When in the beginning thou didst create man after thine own image and likeness, thou didst set him in paradise to reign over thy creatures. But when beguiled by the malice of the devil, he tasted of the food, he became a transgressor of thy commandments, for which cause, O Lord, thou didst condemn him to return again unto the earth, whence he was taken, and to entreat repose. At this time, we cannot accept the table invitation anymore. We've given it up. So now we rely on everybody here to pray for us, which is a beautiful thing. It's wonderful. But here's what's even more key, the third tone of the Idiomile of St. John, the monk of Damascus. All mortal things are vanity and exist not after death. Riches endure not, neither doth glory accompany on the way. For when dead cometh, all these things vanish utterly. Wherefore let us cry unto Christ, the immortal King, give rest in the dwelling place of all those who rejoice to Him who is departed from among us. But I understand. We don't always have the time. We are establishing lives. We are establishing a life for not only us, but those who are relying on us. But when we establish that life, all as we're being asked to do, by taking part of the table, by hearing from the epistle today that no matter our sin, we're invited into the kingdom. As long as we repent from it. As long as we take what Christ has given to us. We heard the worst of the worst from today. From adultery to theft to lies. All that can be forgiven. If we accept Christ in our heart, we ask for forgiveness. And we say, yes, Lord, I'm sorry. I do want that place at the table. And I will do what it takes to pull my chair out and come. Thank you for inviting me. Unlike the innkeeper, as you listen to the carols, even though they breed Christ, think about what it's saying. Do not be joyous at this time. Be joyous at this time. But open your heart to your brother. Understand. Don't be the one that rejects Christ at the end, from the beginning. For He came to the world to save sinners. He came to the world knowing that we would continue to sin, but He gave us repentance. So all of those, as outlined by St. Paul, could be forgiven. Now, it's easy for me to stand up here and say, this is the gospel, this is what you do, this is how you have to live your life. Deacon, we're not all on that same step. And that is true. But you know what? The beautiful thing God has done is, yes, He's standing up there. He's not asking you from above to sit there and yank you up those steps. He gave you someone on each rung to bring you up along the way. It's the person next to you. Ask them to pray for you if you're having a hard time. Just ask them to pray for you if they're not. Also, we've been given monasteries. They're there to pray for us every day of their life, many hours out of the day, because we cannot devote our life to that. He understands that. Did it not say that every corner, every grove, every hedge has been, He sent somebody out to look for us? Our priests, our deacons. Just because you don't understand something, all I beg of you to do is say, Father, I have a question. I don't agree with this. Therefore, I am not going to appreciate what the Lord is saying about this. He's been trained. He's been educated. He took that step to search you out to become a shepherd of souls. Now, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm going to finish this up with a story about me. Believe it or not, I get in the same traps as everybody else. I go from here, I go from there. You know, I'm running to visit this person, I'm running back to my office, then I go to visit this person, then I go back to my office. Or I go to this meeting, I go to that meeting, I call somebody up and say, hey, let's have lunch, we haven't had lunch in forever. Or I say, I'm doing a pretty good job with the family. Oh, that's all right, you have it there, let's eat it. You know, I make those same, I fall. Just like every one of us falls, we fall. No one here is perfect. We just do our best to stand up every day. But I forget about that too. I just get going on my life. I know I have to, at 6 o'clock I've got this concert. I know I've got this meeting at 8 o'clock. I've got coffee on Monday with this person. Well, Monday I wake up and I go about my day. I run here and I run there. I take care of this. I tell someone I'm going to be there the next day and I'm going to do this and I fill my appointments here. Monday night I get everything ready. I go to bed. 5 o'clock in the morning, the worst stomach flu hit me in my life. I am telling you, I couldn't even move. I didn't even get 2 minutes of reprieve in between the pains that came, and it felt like someone was taking a knife and stabbing me from the bottom of my throat to the bottom of my stomach. I laid in my bed literally. The first time I got out was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. By 10 o'clock in the morning, I said, God, why? Why am I in pain? Can't you give me any reprieve? Ironically, the day before, I talked to Father Fred on the phone. And we were just visiting about some different things and the trip that he had into the monastery. And we were visiting about infirmity and sickness and what it really means. And I visited on it. And I said all these things about what it meant. I looked over at the... And I started thinking to myself. And I look over the clock. 10 o'clock in the morning. I say to myself, Lord, have mercy on me. Thank you. Thank you so much for making me ill to stop me. You didn't take away my life, but you stopped me. You said, I am going to go to the corner. I'm going to pull you out. I'm going to yank you. I'm going to drag you from wherever you're at. And I am going to make you stop. And I'm going to set you down at the table. And I'm going to say, this is what I'm giving to you. I am not going to let you stand on that pulpit. And I'm not going to let you say, this is the gospel. This is what you need to do. Now, did it go away like that? I wish, but it didn't. Then I said, you know what? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me this affliction today. Thank you that you cared so much about me, that you gave me a taste of the suffering Jesus had to endure on the cross so that I may better appreciate that meal, so that I am not, God willing, I pray every day, one of the few that is not chosen to sit at the table, so that I may be able to visit you someday, whether at a glorious table over a beautiful feast or to say a prayer for you, with you, in humility, and keep me in humility. Because Christ came into this world with humility, of so much I forget. So my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, enjoy this Advent season. Think about the fervor that Christ came into this world with in His humility to set the table for us. And my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us all pray that we can have our place and our card will be set at the table. And that it is there for us to take, and we don't walk away from it, and the first thing we do is sit down. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.